Today's daf is Pesach and Daf Samach Ches. We left off in the last word of Daf Samach Zayin Beis, I believe, all the way at the bottom by Meisve. We are going to discuss today a few interesting topics. That we're going to start with the halachos that we were discussing about a Balkeri, whether a Balkeri is allowed in the Machna Leviya, and he's only banished from the Machna Shechina, or he's even not allowed in the Machna Leviya. We're going to bring Rayas one way or the other, and then we're going to discuss the next line of the Mishnah where it spoke about Michui Krev. And we're going to define what that means. When we read the Mishnah, we didn't define that term, but in the context of defining it, we're going to quote Psukim, and some of those Psukim are going to deal with Olam Haba, so we're going to start to talk about Olam Haba a little bit, and we're going to Psukim that deal with Olam Haba. The Gemara is going to discuss then the parameters of removing warts from Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, both by hand and and with tools, whether they're dry warts and moist warts, which is also just based on the Mishnah, one of the things that we discussed in the Mishnah. And at the end of the daf, we're going to conclude with a discussion of the mitzvah of Simchas Yantif, and we're going to discuss how much of the day should be spent on Yantif enjoying physical pleasures, how much is Lachem, and how much of the day should be spent in spiritual pursuits, how much is La Hashem. So that's going to lead us into the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim as well. So a lot of interesting topics on the daf. Let's begin. So again, in the previous daf, on Daf Samach Zayin, we began discussing whether a Balkeri is only excluded from entering the Machne Shechina, he's only now allowed to go in the Azara, or maybe no, maybe a Balkeri like a Zav is not even allowed in the Machne Leviya, he's not even allowed on Har Abayis. So we concluded that a Balkeri is even excluded from Machne Leviya, he's like a Zav, he's not even allowed on Har Abayis. The Braisa compares a Balkeri to a Maga Sheretz, to someone who touches a Sheretz, someone who touches a Sheretz is only excluded from Machna Shechina, but is allowed on Har Abayis. So Gemara says, yeah, it compared a Balkeri to the Maga Sheretz, but only in that both Tumos can happen Ba'ones, not in terms of how far they, of which Machnos they're excluded from. The Balkeri Be'emes is really excluded both from the Machna Shechina and from the Machna Leviya. So our daf is going to start with two challenges to this conclusion that a Balkeri is only excluded from the, is excluded even from the Machna Leviya, not just from the Machna Shechina. Meisve, asked the Gemara, if you read weiter in that same Braisa that compares Balkeri to a Maga Sheretz, it compares to other types of Tumah as well. Boel Nida Kitame Meis. It says that someone who's Boel Nida is like a Tamei Meis. So Lamai, Ilei Melu Tumasam, if you want to tell me that it's telling me that they're both Tamei for 7 days, well, Haytum Shivik Sivbei, Vahaytum Shivik Sivbei. That it says in the Psukim, I wouldn't need a Braisa to equate Bol Nida Tamei Meis to tell me that they have Tumas Shiva, that they're both Tamei for the same amount of time. Elo Lav L'Machanosam, what must that equation be about? It must be about where they're not allowed to go, which Machanos they are sent away from, that a Tamei Meis is not allowed to go into the Machna Shechina, a Bo'al Nida also must be only about the Machna Shechina. Okay, we need the Seifa L'Machnosam Avi, Reisha Nami L'Machnosam. But if the Seifa is talking about the equation in the Seifa of Bo'al Nida K'tame Meis is in that, is about how, which Machnos they're not allowed to enter, well then the equation in the Reisha, when we compare a Balkeri to a Maga Sheretz, should also be about which Machnos they're not allowed to enter. And since we know a Maga Sheretz is only excluded from the Machna Shechina, a Balkeri should only be excluded from the Machna Shechina and not from the Machna Leviya. So says Marmidiria, Hakadisa Vakadisa. Who says that the first equation in the Braisa and the second equation in the Braisa are talking about the same set of halachos? Maybe the equation between Maga Sheretz and Balkeri is about Tuma Ba'ones, and the equation between Baal Nida and Tamei Meis is not about Tuma Ba'ones. It's about, obviously not about Tuma Ba'ones, but it's about Shiluach Mina Machnos. So you can't draw any conclusion just because the Sefer is clearly talking about Shiluach Min HaMachnos. Tosos writes in Maseches Yuma and Maseches Moed Katan just on this status of Tuma called Boel Nida, that Boel Nida is not a Tuma Yotze Megufo. Tuma Yotze Megufo is where the Tuma begins. The Tuma begins in the Nida, the Tuma begins in a Zav, a Zava, Yoledes, right? That's the source of the Tuma. Boel Nida is not considered to be that he's a Tuma Yotze Megufo, that he's the beginning of the source of his Tuma, and therefore he's not sent outside of Beis Machnos. However, the Radvaz in Trumas Perek Vav Alachates has a suffix whether we consider a bowl nida tuma yotzi megufo because he became tame from a nida whose tuma yotzi megufo, or maybe it's like any other tumas maga, meaning bowl nida is not the same as nogeya ben nida, right? It's a much higher form of tuma. So if we're just nogeya ben nida, so then it's vaday not tuma yotzi megufo, but it's bowl nida. So it's the fact that he did that maisa, do we consider it to be tuma yotzi megufo? Nafkamina would be, is he allowed to eat trumas chutz la'aretz? That's only asr for someone who's tuma yotzi megufo, the Gemara in Bukhara says. So if it's tuma yotzi megufo, it would be asr, and if it's not tuma yotzi megufo, it would be mutter. So the Radvaz writes that the Rambam sounds like that it is a tuma yotzi megufo. So he's so it seems that it might be a machlokas rishonim. The Tosfos holds it's not tuma yotzi megufo, and the Rambam holds it is. In Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, he quotes that Rashi in Yumat of Zion says that tumas bo'al nida has a din of tumas nida that it's not nidchis b'tzibur because tumah yotzis megufo is not nidchis b'tzibur. So it sounds that bo'al nida is considered a tumah yotzis megufo, and the Rambam passes this way in Hilchos Korban Pesach that if rov of the kal is zavim or mitzaraim or bo'al nidos, then they don't make Pesach Rishon. So you see from the Rambam also that bo'al nida is a tumah yotzis megufo because that kind of tumah is not nidchis in the tzibur. But the difficulty in Rashi is then why is he not sent out chutz l'beis machnos? Meaning we just said the machanosam, their bo'al nida is just like a tamei meis. Tamei meis is not a tumah yotzi megufo. Tamei meis got his tumah from somewhere else, and that's why he's only sent out of the machna shechina, not out of the machna levia. But if a bo'al nida is tumah yotzi megufo, why do we send him out of the machna levia as well? So Ravan Kotler, Mishnah Rabbi Aaron is mitari. It's very very simply really, but. That there are two different issues over here. The din of shiluach machnos is different than the din of dechias tuma b'tzibur. Dechias tuma b'tzibur depends on how severe the tuma is. If it's a very severe level of tuma, that's yoseis megufo, so then it's not going to be nidches. Whereas and therefore tumas bo'al nida is not nidches b'tzibur because the tuma is like tumas nida, which is tame for 7 days. And from there we see that a tuma chamura like a tuma yotzi megufo, even though he gets the tuma from a nida is and it doesn't it's treated like a tuma yotzi megufo even though he doesn't get the tuma from himself. It's from having bia with the nida. Shiluach machnos doesn't come based on the koach of the tuma. A tuma zav, for instance, is requires shiluach beis machnos, but it's that re'ias haziva is what causes the tuma, and that also causes the shiluach of beis machnos. Meaning, this being the source of the tumah is what determines whether you're going to be nishlach from a second machna, from the machna levia as well. So that's why by tumah yotzi megufo it's beis machnos because there's the siba for the tumah. He is the cause of the tumah, and that's what demands. So bo'al nida is not sent chutz mi beis machnos, not because of the chumras ha-tumah, but because his tumah is not chumar enough, but he doesn't have the sibas ha-tumah. He's not the cause of the tumah. So even though the chumras ha-tumah is like a nida itself, the sibas ha-tumah is not like a nida itself. That's how Rav Aaron Kotler deals with the issue of bo'al nida. Says the Gemara Vayit. And now Mesil will bring another raya against what we said yesterday, that a Balkeri is even excluded from the Machna Leviyah, is even not allowed on Harabais. Mitzora, Chamur Mizav, Izav, Chamur Mitamimais. Mitzora is more Chamur than Izav, Izav is more Chamur than Tamimais. Yatza Balkeri, Isha Tamimais, Chamur Mimenu. To exclude a Balkeri, that a Tamimais is more Chamur than it. So, my Yatza, what do we mean to exclude a Balkeri? Lav Yatza Mechal Zav, Ubal Chal Tamimais, Da Tamimais Chamur Menu, Umutab Machna Leviyah. Doesn't the word Yatza mean to tell me that he's outside of the category of a Zav and instead is put in the category of a Tamei Meis, because after all Tamei Meis is even more Chamer than it, and Tamei Meis is allowed in the Machna Leviyah, so the Balkari also should be allowed in the Machna Leviyah. So isn't it telling me that a Balkari is only excluded from the Machna Shechina and not from the Machna Leviyah? So it says, Yatza mi Machna Tamei Meis v'nichnas l'Machna Zav. Yatza means he's excluded from the machna of the tamimeis and is nichnas into the machna of the zav. V'yafal gav the tamimeis chamim menu umutar b'machna levia l'may d'dami le'midamina le'. Meaning the point is, even though tamimeis is more chamer than it, and tamimeis is mutter in the machna levia, tamimeis is only excluded from the machna shechina, but still, what are you going to compare Balkari to? Is he more like a tamimeis or more like a zav? He's clearly much more like a zav, so he should have the same dinim that a zav has, that just like a zav is also machna levia, so too Balkari. Tani Tanaka made Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi. V'yatzal michutz l'machne, zu machne shechina. Lo yavo toch ha-machne, zu machne levia. Mikal Balkari shiatzu chutz l'shtei machnos. Totally different limud. Just the double lashon in the pasuk, two different phrases in the pasuk teach us about two machnos that a Balkari is not allowed to enter. So an entirely different source to teach that a Balkari is sent out of the machne levia. So I'm like, akati lo ayalte, apikte lishnach. So a very difficult line to translate in the Gemara. Rashi has an approach that these are actually two different questions, but I thought the Pashut reading is not like Rashi over here. The Tzlach and the Merome Sada, some of the Achronim explain that it's all one question the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is asking Manavshuch, that if we're talking about somebody who became Tamei outside, so I understand why it says Lo Yavo, meaning if he's Tamei and he's outside of the Machne, so you want to tell him, don't go into the Machne Leviyah. But then it's going to be difficult. Why does it say V'yetze, which is to leave the Machne Shechina? He's not in the Machne Shechina. How can you have a requirement to leave if you're not in there? And if we're talking about someone who became Tamei in the Azara, then V'yetze makes a lot of sense. He has to leave the Machne Shechina, but it's difficult to understand. What's Lo Yavo? That he shouldn't go into the Machne Leviyah? We never told him to leave the Machne Leviyah. How can you tell him Lo Yavo, that he's not allowed to go in there, as if he already left to the Machne Yisrael? So that's what the Gemara answers. Ele'ema michutz l'machne zu machne levia lo yavo toch ha-machne zu machne shechina. The Gemara answers that we're talking about someone who becomes tamei in the machne levia. So the Torah is telling him, leave the machne levia, that's v'yetze, and don't enter the machne shechina where he's not yet in. So that must be the yukimta that the psukim are talking about a guy who becomes tamei while he's in that middle machne, while he's in the Machna Levia. So he has a further iser to go further into the Machna Shechina, plus he has a requirement to get out of the Machna Levia.
But how do you know? Maybe it's all about the Machna Shechina. There's nothing about the Machna Levia in here. And the whole point is to make him in violation of both an Asay and a Los Asay if he enters the Machna Shechina in a state of Tumma. So im kein lemakrav yetzel lichutz l'machna v'lo yavol tov. Hamachane lamali. Let it stop at that. Why does it have to say hamachane the second time? Shravina litin lamachane acheres. Must be that there's a second machane, because I would have known it should have said v'yetzel michutz lamachane v'lo yavo al toch. Well, it couldn't have really said that, because that doesn't make sense. It should be v'lo yavo al tocho or something like that, or tocha. You shouldn't go back into it. But still, you don't need a whole nother word hamachane. The fact that it says a whole nother word hamachane tells me that there must be another machane in play over here, and that is the Machna Levia. Umichui Krevav. Good. So the Mishnah had listed Michui Krevav as one of the avodos of the Korban Pesach that can be done on Shabbos. Remember, the Mishnah was formatted with three sections. There are those things that can be done on Shabbos, those things that can't be done on Shabbos, and those things that are a machlokes. So we said the Michui Krevav, the Korban Pesach, can be done on Shabbos, but we never translated what the words mean. So my Michui Krevav, what is Michui Krevav? Rav Huna Amar Sheminakvan Besakin. Rav Huna holds that it means to make a hole in them with a knife to drain the liquid from them, from the intestines. Rav Chir Bar Rav Amar Shirka Demaya Denafka Agav Duchka Desakina. It refers to scraping the slime off the intestines with the knife, and he's going to bring a raya from a pasuk that the term Michui refers to something rotten, something slimy. Amar Blazer, my time with Rav Chir Bar Rav. What's this? Where does Rav Chir Bar Rav get that definition of Michoy Krevav. Again, he's quoting a pasuk in Yeshayo, V'chavos Mechim Garim Yochelu. So my mashma, how do I know that that means something slimy? Kedimitargim Rav Yosef V'nechseyon D'Rishiaya. It refers to Rishayim, to slimy people. Tzadikaya Yechsenun. The targum on the pasuk is that the belongings of Rishayim, Tzadikim are going to Yarshin. The first half of the pasuk though says, once we're darshaning the pasuk, V'ra'u kvasim kidavram. So Amar Menashe Bar Yirmiya, Amar Rav, kimidubar bam. It means, kidavram means kimidubar bam. My kimidubar bam, what does that mean? Amar Abayi, v'charvos mechim garim yochelu. What does it mean that they're going to get kidavram? The sheep will graze kidavram. The sheep will graze like it is spoken about them. What does it mean like it is spoken about them? The second half of the pasuk, meaning the tzaddikim, who are the sheep, are going to be zochet to the nechasim of the rishayim, as it says in the second half of the pasuk. Amle Rava Bishlam Iksiv Charvos Kedekamrit Hashadukziv Vicharvos Milsachritikamar. You just read the pasuk as one unit, that it's telling me one idea that tzaddikim are going to yarshin the nechasim of rishayim, but it says a vav that separates the two parts of the pasuk. So how can you say it's all talking about the same idea? Ella Amar Rava Kedrav Chanan Elam Rav. No, the pasuk must be telling me what Rav Chanan Elam Rav teaches. Damar Rav Chanan Elam Rav Asidin Tzaddikim Sheyichyu Asamesim, that the tzaddikim are going to be mechaya the mason, that in Olam Haba. Ksiv Acha Uru Kvasim Kedavram Uksivasim Yiru Bashan V'Gilad Kimei Olam. And what are Bashan and Gilad referring to? Bashan Ze Elisha Habamin HaBashan Shenemar V'Yani V'Shafat B'Bashan Uksiv Po Elisha Ben Shafat Asher Yatzak Mayim Alidei Eliyahu. So we see that Elisha is associated with Bashan, so when it refers to Bashan it's referring to Elisha, and Elisha was someone who performed Tchias HaMesim. Gilad Ze Eliyahu. Gilad is a reference to Eliyahu, because it says Vayomer Eliyahu Atishbi Mitoshevei Gilad Ta'achav, etc. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Rav Yonasan Asidim Tzadikim Sheyichu Mesim. Tzadikim are going to one day be Mechayim Mesim. Shnemar Od Yishuv Zekenim Zekenus Perchovus Yerushalayim V'ish Mishanto B'yado Meirov Yamim Uksiv V'santa Mishanti Al Pnei HaNa'ar, that a Mishenes is associated with Tchias HaMesim. So you see that Tzadikim are going to be Mechayim Mesim. How do we get into this? Because we're trying to understand what the pasuk means, that Ukvasim Kedavram. So we're saying Ukvasim Kedavram is not just the other half of the pasuk, that tzaddikim are going to yarshin whatever nechasim the rishayim have. No, it's a second idea that tzaddikim are going to be involved in tchias hamesim, and we associate it with the pasuk that tells us about Bashan and Gilad, about Elisha and Eliyahu. The Masha raises the question: so Bashan and Gilad referred to Elisha and Eliyahu respectively, so who came first? Eliyahu was the Rebbe of Elisha, right? Eliyahu comes before Elisha. Bashan comes first in the pasuk, and that's Elisha. Elisha comes first in the pasuk before Eliyahu. Why would that be the case? So it could be just very simply, if this pasuk is referring to Tchias HaMesim, so we're going in terms of the kochos of Tchias HaMesim. Elisha asked Eliyahu, upon Eliyahu's ascent back up to Shemayim, that he wants double the koch of Eliyahu, and he got it. He was able to be mechaya two people. He did Tchias HaMesim twice, whereas Eliyahu only did it once. So we're not talking about in terms of the order in which they led Klal Yisrael, or they lived here on earth, but rather in terms of their kochos in Tchias HaMesim itself. The Ben Yoyada says that when we talk about Tchias HaMesim, Eliyahu is not really as great a chiddush, because he's a malach. So it's not as great a chiddush that he could do Tchias HaMesim. A much greater chiddush that it's Elisha, and that's why we dafka refer to Elisha. But L'chora, the Iyun Yaakov points out, these are not the only two Nevi'im to have performed Tchias HaMesim. Why doesn't the pasuk mention Yecheskel in the Valley of Dry Bones that he also did Tchias HaMesim? So the Iyun Yaakov suggests that that's maybe is hinted to in the pasuk. It says Kimei Olam. That's a remez to Yecheskel, who saw the Olam Ha'asid, who was Misnave about Olam Haba, the Maisa Merkava and everything else. He was Misnave about Gog u Magog, about Olam Haba. So maybe that's Kimei Olam. That's also referred to in the pasuk. Or he says maybe the Gemara holds like the Shita Masech Sanhedrin's Machlokas at the beginning of Perek Chelek in Masech Sanhedrin, whether the story of Yecheskel was a mashal or whether it actually happened. But was he actually Mechayim Esim, or is it purely a mashal? So maybe we're assuming like the Shita that it's a mashal. Ben Yehuda says that Yecheskel was not Mechayim the Mesim on his own. He was misnave that Hashem is Mechayim the Mesim, and the Mesim got up. But he was just misnave what Hashem was about to do, but he didn't physically do anything to be Mechayim the Mesim. He physically did things to aid in his Nevuah, but then the Nevuah was just about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to do. And that's why maybe he's not listed. Okay, so the Gemara now, this Amud concludes with three stiras that different Amoraim ask in Psukim. Ula, all about all Haba. Ula Rami, Ula asked the following stira. Ksiv bilam avas lenetzach. It says on the one hand that there was not going to be any more death, but then uksiv, it also says ki anar ben mei hashana yamos, that in Olam Haba it's going to be wonderful. Everyone's going to live to 100. Everyone's going to live a long life. So which is it? Is there going to be no more death, or are people going to live long lives? So lo kasha kan be Yisrael kan ba akum. It depends if we're talking about Yisrael or akum. The Yisrael is going to live forever, and the Avdei Kochavim are going to live long lives. What are the Chavim going to do there? They're going to be working for us, so that's why we're going to need the Chavim. Rav Chisda Rami, Rav Chisda asked the following stira. It says on the one hand that the sun and the moon are no longer going to shine, but the pasuk also says that the moon and the sun are going to be exceedingly strong. They're going to shine very, very strongly. So which is it? So lo kasha, kan li olam haba, kan li yemos ha-mashiach. The difference between olam haba and yemos ha-mashiach, that the sun's going to be exceedingly strong in yemos ha-mashiach, and it's not even going to be there in olam haba. So l'shmol damar ein bein olam hazel yemos ha-mashiach l'shib malchus b'lvad ma'ikol me'emar. That's great if you hold that there's a difference between olam hazeh and yemos ha-mashiach. So you could explain a pasuk that talks about how strong the moon and the sun is going to be about yemos ha-mashiach, because you think yemos ha-mashiach is in some way different. But if you hold like Shmuel, that yemos ha-mashiach is the same as this world, except for the Shibud Malchus element, except that there's going to be world peace. Other than world peace, everything else is going to run the same. There are going to be poor people, there are going to be rich people, there's going to be a need for government, there's going to be all sorts of different, everything that we have here, except for the fact that we're not going to need a military. World peace will be achieved. So then, then you need to explain that both psukim are about Olam Haba. Just one of them is talking about the Machna Shechina, and the other one in the Machna Tzadikim. That's the Ram. The Ram describes this. The Ram passes like Shmuel, that Ein Bein Olam Azali Mos Mashiach El Shibur Malchus Bulvad. In Hilchus Malachim, in Perek Yud Beis, the Ram says in Mos Mashiach there's not going to be any Chiddush in Maisa Bereishis. It's all going to be the same. The Ram says, what do I do with the Psukim? The Psukim in Navi in Yishayahu, the Navi says, V'gor Ze'evim Keves, that the wolf is going to lie with the lamb, is going to live with the lamb, and that's obviously not natural. That's an entirely different. So the Ram says, no, that's all derechido mashal. That's just a mashal. That's just it's a way of saying that who's the keves? The keves is Klal Yisrael. Who's the ze'ev? That's our friendly neighbors around us, around Eretz Yisrael. That the wolf and that's what it means. It doesn't mean that an actual wolf and a lamb are going to live peacefully together. No, nature is going to be nature. But all of those psukim are mashal v'chida. That's the interesting raivid. The raivid in that spot says, what do you mean? Hello, b'torah ksiv v'shpati chayra min ha'aretz. But it says v'shpati chayra min ha'aretz in the Torah. So the Achronim don't understand the raivid's kasha. The Ram just got through saying, when it says v'gar ze'evim keves, and all similar type of psukim, it's a mashal. It's referring to Klal Yisrael. So hello, b'torah ksiv v'shpati chayra min ha'aretz. The raivid couldn't imagine that maybe what the mashal might be of v'shpati chayra min ha'aretz, that bad people and that bad governments aren't going to be here anymore. What's the bikasha? So one of my favorite varlach I saw from Reuven Margolius years ago, that he points out that no, you could say mashal v'chid in psukim in Navi, but in Torah we have a rule that in mikra yotze midei pshuto, so it can't be written only as a mashal v'chida. So the Ravitz kash is not, oh, there's another pasuk that talks about nature changing. The Ravitz problem was, he doesn't say valo ksiv, he says valo But Torah ksiv. It says in the Torah, Vishpati Chai Raman Arat. Ramam, you explained away all the psukim in Navi. That's great. What do you do about psukim in the Torah? About wherein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto. You have to do something with that. And the Ramam would explain, that is the Pshuto Shal Mikra. I mean, in Parshat Hazin, when we're describing these things, that is the Pshuto Shal Mikra. It's written poetically. The Pshuto Shal Mikra can be a poem. It could be written poetically. But that might be a machlokas in terms of the definition even of Pshuto Shal Mikra. Okay, anyway, third stira. Or Kasha, Rava Rami, Ksiv, Ani Amis Vachaya, that I'm going to cause people to die and to live. Uksiv, Machsasi Vani Arape, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Merape. So Ashtar Chuyi Mechaya, Merape Lo Kolishkein. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechaya, people who are dead, so of course it's going to be Merape. That's a much lesser Kalach. Elo Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mash Ani Memis, Ani Mechaya. Kemosha Machasi Vani Arape. He says, he's describing how Tchias HaMesim works. Much like someone who's sick gets better, that's how Tchias, someone who's already dead will come back to life. Not just some bring new life into the world, but I'm going to take those who have already died and bring them back to life. You might think that, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu causes to die and to live about two different people. Some people will die and then he'll bring new life into the world, but it's not the same person. Just like we have in the world runs nowadays. Just like the Makkah and the Refuah is on the same person, Refuah only happens to a person who was sick originally, so too the Chayim comes to the one who is already mace. Mikan tshuva la'omrim, ein tchias ha'mesim min ha'Torah. And this is a response to anyone who wants to taina that there is no tchias ha'mesim min ha'Torah. Davar achar b'tchila ma'ashani me'mes ani mechaya, v'hadar ma'ashim ha'chatzi v'ani rapeh. Another possibility is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that first I'm going to do Tchias HaMesim, then I'm going to cure the illnesses. Meaning, people who died sick are going to come back to life sick, and then Hashem is going to cure them after they come back to life, as a way of demonstrating that these are the same people, and that that even what that's how the Marsha understands that if he were to bring them back to life in good health, it wouldn't even seem like they're the same people, because sometimes the last memories we have of people is how we saw them at the end. So you can remember them as they were when they last saw life here on earth, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be merapi them to bring them back to health. The Hekter Chalav, the Mishnah went on to say that you're allowed to burn the fats of the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, even though technically the Hekter Chalavim of a Korban could be done all night following the Korban. So if Erev Pesach was Chal on Shabbos, it's quite a chiddush that you're allowed to do the Hekter Chalavim on Shabbos itself. Why don't you just wait till after Shabbos and do it all night Motzai Shabbos? So Gemara says this is a very important point. What this is telling us is just how valuable it is to do a mitzvah in the right time. Because really, the burning of the chalavim could be done all night. But we don't wait that long. We do it during the daytime. And that's the concept of chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. So it doesn't just mean in the right time. It means in the earliest possible time that when you have the ability to do a mitzvah. The Shach writes in Yaradeya, in Simon Shin Hei, in the name of a Tshuva Sefer, that if you have a child who's a Bechor, who got sick and was not able to have a bris milah on time, and now it comes time for the day of the Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen you could do even on a sick child as well. So it comes time for the day of the Pidyon HaBen, and now he's ready for his bris milah. So he says you should be makdim the milah to the Pidyon HaBen, because the milah is the oath to the kenisa of the bris and the kabbalas malchuso yisbarach alav and the kenisa of the bris Avram Avinu. Without that, there is no mitzvah. Pidyon. It has to dafka come first with the Knesset of the Bris. So that's what he quotes from a Tshuva Sefer. So Chassam Sofer says another two reasons to do the Mila before the Pidyon HaBen. First of all, is that since the beginning of the Knesset of the Bris happens al Yedei Mila, and any ger that's not nichnas to Judaism, it only happens al Yedei Mila. He's only nichnas to Judaism al Yedei Mila. Mila is one of the procedures that we do in the gerus process. So of course you should do the Mila begufo before you do any other mitzvah begufo. You want to make him a full-fledged Jew, meaning Pidyon HaBen is a mitzvah, but Mila is part of making him a Jew. So in order, before you do any mitzvahs, it would make sense to want to make him a Jew first. So it's true, it's not ma'akev, you could do Pidyon HaBen without a Mila, but it's logical that you would do it first. Plus, he says that there's an inyan in Pidyon HaBen, in Dine Pidyon Midian Ben to dafka be poda him when he's mahul, because before Hakadosh Baruch Hu's matzil the Bechori Yisrael from Mitzrayim, they had to get a mila for Achilas Korban Pesach. So apparently, whatever we're doing the pidyon for the special status of a Bechor, mila had to precede it. So maybe part of the din of pidyon aben is that really it's a mila should come before it. However, in the Sefer Yad Eliyahu, he asks on this Chuvus HaRanach that the Shach quotes that in a lot of places in Shas we say Chaviv Mitzvah B'Shaita. Over here also Chaviv Mitzvah B'Shaita. Sounds like the halach is that we should be makdim the mitzvah whose real time it is now. So if it's the day of Pidyon HaBen, it's a mila shelo bizmana, but it's a Pidyon HaBen bizmana. So maybe you should do the Pidyon HaBen on time. The counter argument is, who says you're not going to do the Pidyon HaBen on time? You do the Pidyon HaBen on time after you do the mila. You'll do them both that same day. No one's saying anything about doing it not on time in a chinami. If you only have enough time in the day for one, so then maybe in a chinami you would do the Pidyon HaBen first. Okay, our kavasa vava'aso, the Mishnah said that according to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed after discussing bringing it from outside the Tchum, and so we also discussed removing the warts. Over here, the discussion is going to be on the Vechule part. So he said, according to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to remove an animal's wart on Shabbos. So it says, Meru Minhu, Chotchin Yabelis B'Migdash Avalo B'Medina, Vim B'Kli Kan V'Kan Aser. So the Braisa says that you're allowed to cut off a wart by hand in the Beis HaMigdash as long as you use a Kli. So how can the Tanakhama say it's Aser? So Blazer Besser Bechadina, Chanamar Idividi Biyad, Habalacha, Habiyavesha, that the Tanakam is also talking about removing it by hand. The difference is a moist wart, you're not allowed to remove by you can remove a moist wart, you're not allowed to remove by hand. A dry wart, you are allowed to remove by hand. So when the Tanakam says Zasser, he's talking about Lacha. When the Bryce says Mutter, he's talking about Yavesha. Vechadam, and the other one says, no, Idividi Balacha. Everyone's talking about a moist wart. Velokasha, Habiyad, Habakli. This Braisa explicitly said that Bikli is Asr, it's only Mutter Biyad. So when the Tanakhama said it's Asr, he must have been talking about Bikli. Why didn't the second answer like the first answer? What's the problem with being mechalik between a moist wort and a dry wort? A dry wort will crumble on its own, and that's not called chatichas yabelas. That wouldn't be called cutting it off. It just crumbles. Why did the shita who said that the chilik is between a moist wort and a dry wort? What was the problem with saying that both our Mishnah and the Brice was talking about a moist wort and the whole chilik is biyad or bekli? So kli hakatani hasam in bekli kan mekan aser, because it already says it over there that kli is aser. So why would we need our Mishnah to tell me that bekli is aser? It already says that all of those dinim already appear in Erevin that it's aser. So why would we need our Mishnah at all? The idach hadiktani kli hacha plucked the Rabbi Lazar Bishua Salashminan. No, but the other shita would say it does add something over here, not to add that Bekli is Asr, but to tell me that there is a machlokas about this, to teach me the machlokas, Rabbi Lazar Bishua. It doesn't say any machlokas in that other Mishnah in Erevin. All it says is that Bekli is Kan V'Kan Asr. So in order to teach me this machlokas, that's why we have our Mishnah. Amr Rabbi Lazar. So the Rabbi Lazar said in the Mishnah that you're unable to figure out what's usher to do for the sake of Korban Pesach from what's usher to do for the sake of Yantif. Because he says you can't compare what you do for the sake of a mitzvah, Korban Pesach is a mitzvah, to what you do for the sake of Simchas Yantif, of having more food on Yantif, because that's only a reshus. That only facilitates a reshus. So in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shua wanted to learn, Rabbi Kiva wanted to learn from the dinim of Ochel Nefesh, that if you're allowed to do malacha for Ochel Nefesh on Yantif, and you're not allowed to do machshirim, so then we should say the same thing when it comes to Pesach, right? That for the Korban Pesach, you're allowed to do malacha, you should not be allowed to do machshirim. Rabbi Lazar says, no, you can't compare the two. For Korban Pesach, you're facilitating a mitzvah. For eating on Yantif, what kind of mitzvah? You're not facilitating a mitzvah. All you're facilitating is a reshus. So says Mar, Rabbi Yeshua, the time damar simchas yantiv, nami mitzvahi. This is Rabbi Yeshua, l'shitaso. Because Rabbi Yeshua holds that just like Korban Pesach is a mitzvah, simchas yantiv is also a mitzvah. It's not just a reshus. Detanya, this machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua, about the status of simchas Hilchos Yantiv appears in a Braiser. Reb Lozer Omer, Ein lo la'adam b'yom tov ela o ochel v'shose o yoshe v'shona. How a person should spend his yantiv should be, he has one of two options. Either he eats and drinks, or he sits and learns all day. One of the two options. Rabbi Shua Omer Chalkehu. Rabbi Shua says, it's not one of the two. One is supposed to divide his day. Chetzio la'achil v'shtia v'chetzio l'beis ha-medrash. Half of the day should be for eating and drinking, and the other half of the day should be l'beis ha-medrash, should be for learning. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Shem Mikra Echad Darshu. They both really darshan the same pasuk, or the same set of pasukim. They both have the same problem. Kasav Echad Omer. One pasuk says, Atzeres la'Hashem Elokecha, that the yantiv should be for Hashem. V'kasav Echad Omer, Atzeres Tiyah Lechem, that the yantiv should be for you. So they both had the stira and pasukim. So what do you do when you have a stira between two pasukim? So we know, we read every morning, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yudgum Nidashatar and Jashbehen, Shnei Chesuv Ma'machishim Zeh, that's great when there's a third pasuk. What do you do when there's no third pasuk? There's no kasav shlishi that's going to be mekriya b'nehem. So that's the machlokas. Rabbi Elazar b'Shua. So Rabbi Elazar savar o kulo l'Hashem, o kulo l'chem. When there's no third pasuk, what you have to assume is that the Torah is giving you options. You can choose this one, or you can choose that one. Those are your two options. But you got to choose one. It's got to be one way or the other. Rabbi Shua Savar, Chalkeu, Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Lechem. And Rabbi Shua says, no, the Torah is not giving you options. The Torah is telling you that you should do both, that you should divide it evenly between the two ideas. Now, the truth is, the kasha that they're both bothered by, that there's a steer in the psukim, that one pasuk says, Atzeres Hashem Elokecha, the other says, Atzeres Tiyah Lechem. If you look at it in context, it's not really a steer. The Marsha points out, the first pasuk is in the context of Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Second pasuk is in the context of Shmini Atzeres. So it's possible that Shvi'i Shel Pesach would be Lashem Elokecha, Shmini Atzeres would be Lachem. But says the Marsha, apparently Chazal thought that the Dinei Simchas Yantiv shouldn't be any different than Shmini Atzeres, that it should be in Shvi'i Shel Pesach. There's no reason that they should have different dinim of Simchas Yantiv. So it must be that they have the same din, and therefore the Gemara asks it as a stira. So it's clear that Reb Lazar holds that it's o kulo, o kulo. So the Balamar points out, so wait a second, so according to Reb Lazar, there's no mitzvah if a person wants to eat on yantiv? So he says, no, there is a mitzvah of simchas yantiv, it's definitely a mitzvah. Reb Lazar is just saying that there's a chalipin in the tumura for such a mitzvah, meaning if you don't want to do simchas yantiv, instead you can choose to sit and learn all day. It's not that there's no mitzvah of simchas yantiv, but it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis because there's a way out. So that's what makes it different than Karban Pesach. The Marsha says, no, of course Reb Lazar holds there's a mitzvah of simchas yantiv, but there are two ways to be mesameach oneself. One could be mesameach himself in gashmius, or he could be mesameach himself in ruchnius. So that's the machlokas. Rabbi Yeshua holds that the mitzvah of simchas yantiv has to be both types of simcha, that one is not fully mesameach unless he has both types of simcha. Whereas Reb Lazar says, focus on whichever type of simcha you want to focus on, but make the experience a total experience. There is a discussion in the Achronim, what would Rabbi Eliezer say about doing Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil Hashem? Would that be an option also? Is Rabbi Eliezer just saying, I just want the whole day in simcha? So you could do Kulul Hashem, you could do Kulul Hashem, or maybe also Chatzil Chatzil, and Rabbi Shua saying, no, you dafka have to do Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil Hashem? Or is Rabbi Eliezer saying, no, Rabbi Eliezer is being very exact, that it has to be only Kulo Hashem or Kulo Lechem. So that's the discussion in the Achronim. The Darkei Moshe in Sim Tavkuf Chavtes Nuchas Yom Kippurim quotes from Mari Vail that someone who does a Tainus Chalom on Yom Tov has to learn all day, because if he's not Mekayim the Chatzil Lechem, so then Rabbi Yeshua would be Modi, you got to do the Kulul Hashem. If you're not going to do any, so he's got to be learning all day. So Darkei Moshe disagrees for two reasons. He says, first of all, when you're fasting, you're already doing Kulul Hashem. That's the fast. The fast itself is Kulul Hashem. You don't have to learn all day. Second is that the Tainus is a Simcha for him, because he's being, and that is his Chatzil Lechem. Meaning when a person has a Tainus Chalom, he's very bothered, and the Tainus Chalom makes him feel better. Meaning if a person has this terrible anxiety over a dream, so the only simcha he's going to have in his life is if he feels like he's doing something about it. He feels like he's doing something to solve the problem. So the Tainus Chalom is dafka his Chatzil Lechem. So Magen Avraham points out in Tavkuf Sadi Zayin that there's a nafkamina between those two reasons. Based on what Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to fast to this is our Daf Yomi says for the day, that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah for the sake of tshuva. That there were goanim that had such a minute to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So if you're fasting on Rosh Hashanah for the sake of tshuva, do you need to learn all day? You know, during those hours that you're not davening, do you need to be learning all day? If you say like the second reason, so the Dr. Moshe would be moda that you have to learn, because the fasting that you're doing for the sake of tshuva is not a chatzi lachem. It's not putting your mind at ease. You're doing it for tshuva. But if you say like the first reason, that the tainus is a kium of lachem, so then you don't need to learn all day, because you're not neglecting the lachem. So the Eliyarabba though says that even according to the second reason, you don't need to learn Rosh Hashanah if you're fasting for tshuva, because the Kolbo writes, according to Beis Yosef, that you're allowed to fast on any yantif for the sake of tshuva. So when you're fasting Rosh Hashanah l'shem tshuva, you don't need to learn, because you're being mekayim the tainus, with the tainus you're being mekayim the chatzi lachem also, meaning that's a din in Hilchos Yantif in general. So anyway, so that's a little bit of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. Says Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Elazar, Hakol Modim Batzeis, even though we had this machlokas about between Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shua, whether you need to do lachem or you could do kula lashem, but everyone is moda about certain days of the year that you must do lachem, that there must be some eating and drinking. So Hakol Modim Batzeis to be an nami lachem. Everyone agrees on Shavuos, there needs to be an element of lachem. My taima Yom Shenit Bo Toruhu, because that was the day the Torah was given. Amar Rabba Hakol Modim B'Shabbos to be an nami lachem. Shabbos requires lachem. My taima V'Kras L'Shabbos Oneg. Because on Shabbos, it's not just the din of Simcha, it's the din of Oneg. And Oneg has a specific mashmaus of physical enjoyment, that it's not enough to just spiritually enjoy. Amar Rav Yosef Hakol Modim B'Purim to be an nami lachem. Purim also requires lachem. My taima Yemei Mishta V'Simcha. Mishta is not by learning. Mishta means by eating. By eating and drinking. Sivbei, it says you may mishav simcha. Marbrei d'ravino kula shasa v'yasu b'tanisa levar me atzarta upor yamali yom d'kipure. Marbrei d'ravino, the whole year he would sit and fast except for Shavuos, Purim, and Erev Yom Kippur. Atzeres on Shavuos was because Yom Shenit Nebel Torah was the day the Torah was given worthy of celebration. Pur Yom Yom Mishnah V'Simcha Ksiv. On Purim, because it says Yom Mishnah V'Simcha. Mali Yom D'Kippuri, why on Erev Yom Kippur? T'tani Chia Barav Midifti V'Inisim Esnaf Shoseichem B'Tisha L'Chodesh. Because the Pasuk says V'Inisim Esnaf Shoseichem B'Tisha L'Chodesh, that one is supposed to practice Inui on the ninth day of the month, and we know that that's not true. V'Chi B'Tisha Masanin V'Alo Basirim Masanin. We don't fast on the ninth day of the month of Tishrei, we fast on the tenth day of the month of Tishrei. So why does it say B'Tisha B'Chodesh? That anyone who eats and drinks on the ninth day, it's ki'ilu, he fasted both on the ninth day and the tenth day. It's ki'ilu, he fasted Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. There is a famous tshuva in Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger in Siman Tes Zayin was asked about a girl who was a chola, and eating was very damaging to her. Most often around Yom Kippur time, we get the opposite shayla, that fasting is very damaging. This person couldn't eat, she couldn't handle solid food, but she insisted that she's going to do the mitzvah of achila on Erev Yom HaKippurim. She has to fulfill that mitzvah, and she was going to put her life in danger to fulfill that mitzvah. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, unbelievable, it's an you got to see it inside. Rabbi Kiva Eger writes to the Shoel, who is apparently the family rabbi or something, go to this girl and tell her that the great Gon Rabbi Kiva Eger paskind, that she must fast, she must not eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim, meaning as much of an anav as Rabbi Kiva Eger was, he knew what his stature was, and that he was willing to use his name to make sure to save this girl, that she should dafka go. But once he's discussing, so that was, it's really a no-brainer of a shayla. Some of Rabbi Kiva Eger's best tshuvas are shaylas that aren't really shaylas. He just says, well, once I'm talking about this, I might as well talk a little bit more. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, okay, so the shaila is not really shaila. Of course, it's pikuach nefesh. There's no way that she's allowed to eat when it's pikuach nefesh on Erev Yom HaKippurim. But he says, but wait a second, are women chayiv in the mitzvah of achila on Erev Yom HaKippurim in the first place? Is it something that they're included in? So he says, l'chora, they shouldn't be chayiv at all. To mitzvah shazman grama. Mitzvah shazman grama, women are peturas from. So l'chora, there should be no chayiv of eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim. So that's the question the Achronim deal with. And Rabbi Kiva Eger deals with, how connected is the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur to the mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur? So some of the Rishonim understand, the Rush writes, the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great chesed with Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, I know I'm making you fast tomorrow, but I'm giving you a mitzvah mitzvah to eat the day before to prepare you for that fast. So you'll be more prepared for that fast. So it would turn out that if a person is not going to be fasting on Yom Kippur, then they would have no chiyuv to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. But it would also turn out that anyone who is fasting on Yom Kippur would automatically have the chiyuv to eat. It would be connected, much like the Shomer V'Zachar of Shabbos, that anyone who's chayv in Shmir Shabbos, chayv in Zechir Shabbos, much like the Kol Sheyeshon Bal Tov Chacham, it's Yeshon B'Kum Echel Matzah. Sometimes you have an Asay and a Los Asay that are two sides of the same coin. And then anyone who's chayv in the Los Asay side is also chayv in the Asay side. So the women who are chayv in the Los Asay are not going to be able to eat on Yom Kippur. L'char would then be chayv in the Asay, in the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippurim as well. So that's the but it would turn out, points out the Ksav Sofer, that if a woman were sick and unable to eat, to fast on Yom Kippur, then for sure she's patur from eating on Erev Yom Kippur. She's not able to fast on Yom Kippur. But otherwise, he thinks we should be machmir in both directions. Rav Yosef b'yomada atzarta amar avdili igla tilsa. Rav Yosef on Shavuos would say he would want the choicest type of cow to be shechted for him. Amar iloha yomada kagarim kama Yosef yika b'shuka. Because Shavuos was a very special day for him. Because if not for the day of Shavuos, then he's just a regular Joe. He's like every other Yosef in the shuk. But it's the Torah that makes him special. Rav Sheshes kol tosin yom in mahadele talmudei v'tali kai b'ibra d'dasha. Rav Sheshes every 30 days would chazer over all of his learning, and he would stand by the doorpost v'amr chadai nafshai lech kroi lecha tonight, and he would say that my nefesh is so pleased and so joyous. I do this. I learn mikra for you, Hashem, and I learn mishnah for you. Eini v'amr blazim v'moli Torah l'meskayim v'shemayim v'arit shemar lo brisi yom leichu k'shemayim v'arit lo samti. How can you say that? Isn't it? It's not just for you. It's for the whole sake of all of creation. If the Torah keeps the world going, so no, may kari kevadin shadait nafshe ka'avid. No, but first a person does it for himself. He does it for his own nefesh, and it happens to have the effect of having this tremendously positive effect on the entire world around him. Okay, let's stop there.